What's next now that we know interest rates went up? For Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with special coverage of the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision. The most powerful single economic policymaker in the U.S. is Fed Chair Janet Yellen. And when she and her team voted unanimously to raise interest rates yesterday, here was the spin that this shows the U.S. economy is quite strong since they think it's time to raise interest rates. Also, future rate increases will be, key word here, gradual. For people making money decisions, once the decision came, the inputs sounded like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have liftoff.
The Federal Reserve raises interest rates by 0.25 point.
The patient is out of the hospital, back home, healthy again, and that's the American economy.
This hike is microscopic. The question's what's next.
Only gradual increases in the federal funds rate, and that's the key word, gradual.
Gradual, and that's what the markets want to hear, that there won't be jacking up interest rates really quickly.
Bottom line is they delivered the consensus of the markets, and you're getting that kind of response.
For 9 years, the benchmark interest rates in America was set at around zero to cope with the last financial crisis. Policymakers have now ordered changes to be carried out in markets today aimed at lifting short-term rates by 0.25 to 0.5%. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has more on what happens after that.
Listen, even with the increase, rates are still really low. So this move, on its own, not such a big deal. Vincent Reinhart is with the American Enterprise Institute.
I think the big message is the economy's good enough that they can tighten policy. They're going to do it really slowly, and they're going to wait to see how the economy changes over time. So nothing's prescribed.
The Fed will keep an eye on how the economy is doing before any future rate increases. Here's Fed Chair Janet Yellen.
Look, you know, as the committee has said, we're watching economic developments closely, and we will adjust policy in whatever way is necessary to support the attainment of our objectives.
Which means we'll get to repeat this will-they-won't-they exercise before future Fed meetings. Still, even though this first increase is small, leaving that zero mark behind has psychological impact, says Robert Schiller. He's an economist at Yale University.
Nothing is very salient, but it's not going to be nothing anymore. It's going to start to look like real money.
People who took on risky investments because they paid higher interest rates might consider safer options as interest rates continue to climb.
And maybe not at the very beginning, not immediately, but assuming that interest rates are back up to over 1% or something that looks reasonably normal or beginning of normal, it may set off a new discussion and a new sense of what kind of risks we want to take.
But bottom line, this is baby steps, not big leaps. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. America's central bankers say this liftoff on interest rates is about keeping inflation at 2% and an economy that's now strong enough for it. But to what extent is the Fed starting to raise rates now so it has the option to lower them again if things got ugly again? Imagine a town parceling out water. People want it for lawns. Farmers want it to irrigate crops. But the town takes some and pumps it up a water tower so there's a reserve in case of a fire. Is that what pumping up interest rates is partly about? Well, I tested this metaphor with Simon Johnson, professor of global economics and management at MIT. Professor Johnson, good morning.
Good morning.
In the event of an actual financial emergency, the Fed would lower interest rates. But, you know, you take a look here, interest rates near zero. I guess you can't really do that. Is part of what we're seeing here with interest rates building up over the next perhaps few years, is that like building up maybe an insurance policy?
It's not exactly like building up an insurance policy, which you should probably do under any circumstances. But it is true this does create some space for them to potentially cut interest rates in the future. They can find other ways to make credit conditions easier, but those have proved controversial and not always very effective over the past decade.
I mean, not to have too much of an imagination for disaster, but it's been remarked upon in the past that there's a financial emergency about every 7 years or so. And look at the calendar. It's been over 7 years since the last one really began in earnest.
Yes, I don't think it's a sort of rigid ancient Egypt type timing for modern American economy. There is certainly a very important and difficult tension right now between the real economy, which is still struggling to generate enough jobs, and the financial side of the economy, which has rebounded much more strongly, and people have concerns about some asset prices, for example, being too elevated. We don't know exactly how these things get reconciled, and neither does the Federal Reserve. They would like to have more ability to act as warranted by circumstances, without question.
By even raising this issue with you, I'm not taking Fed policymakers really at their word. They say they only raise rates because it's time. They would reject this notion of it being any kind of insurance policy, I think.
They certainly would not, I think, endorse that view in public. They are very focused on the current state of the economy and what its immediate trajectory is going to be. However, their view of what would be quote-unquote normal interest rates would absolutely take into account what they expect to be the normal, reasonable, acceptable rate of inflation. Included in that is a view of what can happen to the economy and how the Federal Reserve can help to stabilize the economy in the event of a future downturn.
MIT's Simon Johnson, among his books is White House Burning, Our National Debt and Why It Matters to You, and one of my favorites, 13 Bankers, about the last financial crisis. Professor Johnson, thank you.
Thank you.
Another story we're following. Just before the Federal Reserve's announcement yesterday, Argentina effectively devalued its currency, with its new free market-oriented government removing currency controls in a bid to lift a sagging economy there. The peso won't flow totally free. The Argentine Central Bank stands ready today to intervene some to keep order. Currency controls under the previous regime had spawned a huge black market for the peso. Argentine importers and exporters have been preparing for the shoe to drop. Imported goods will get a lot more expensive for Argentine consumers. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.